Glad you're with us. Write down a toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. It's 800-941-SEAN. If you want to join us, there's a lot happening today at a, I guess, somewhere around 4:35 Eastern time. There's going to be the witnesses will take the stand out in Nevada. And we're going to have full coverage of this tonight. The Wisconsin Supreme Court. Now, they declined to take the case that I'd been telling you about. That's a very strong case based on if somebody wants a ballot, absentee or mail-in, they have a process and it's an application that must be signed on to. And it's interesting that they didn't flip. All that happened is they said you got to go through the process. The court process is you got to go to the lower court first. But we're very interested. Three of the seven are saying, yeah, this is merit here. We don't want people saying we're kicking this down to a lower court because it didn't have merit. So it was not sent down to a lower court because of the merits, just the opposite. They believe there's a case there and that the process has to be followed. So that is an important development. Now, there are also there's a lot going on in the state of Georgia today and hearings that have been going on there. We have people in the courtroom. One of the things, Linda, we can bring people a little bit behind the scenes is since Election Day, you know, we've been looking into all of this on a very deep level. It's been pretty much a 24/7 job. And one of the things that we were able to first discover was all these laws about partisan observers. We've gone over all of this in detail with you and dead people voting and votes being found in Georgia and there's still found votes yesterday in New York. I mean, this is madness. It's absolute madness. And, you know, we're going to bring back the truck driver. Remember this guy, Jesse, that we had on? He's the guy that drove hundreds of thousands of ballots from Bethpage, Long Island into, you know, Harrisburg and Lancaster, PA. Then we're also going to talk to Ethan. He's the guy in Wisconsin that, you know, was a U.S. Postal Service subcontractor. And he had a nightly run with the Postal Service. And then, you know, interesting, he was shocked the day of Election Day. He had no idea why, but they didn't have any ballots that day. But then the next day, they're telling people to backdate ballots and send them in. Well, in other words, change the postmark. Well, that would be illegal just in and of itself. And then it's, you know, now you got more crimes on top of it. If you're talking about ballots, that's over 100,000 votes. That would change the election in Wisconsin. You know, the numbers of people that we're talking about, for example, in the state of Nevada, this is not a small amount of people. They're talking about 130,790 illegal ballots they believe were cast in four separate categories. And this is part of a real court hearing today where people will be sworn in under, obviously, penalty of perjury and giving sworn testimony and have to face cross-examination. That begins out in Nevada. 42,284 people appeared to vote twice. When they cross-checked the similar names, addresses, date of birth of to the record of who voted, and 23,000 ballots were mailed to voters with non-Nevada addresses or people out of the 30-day residency requirement, and another 44,000 ballots were cast from commercial addresses, non-existent addresses, and vacant properties. Wow, amazing. And 1,506 voters deceased, but their ballots were all counted. And they analyzed all of this. And anyway, that is all coming up in the case that's going on there. So you got a lot of big news going on around the country. And this is going to be interesting by the time we get on Hannity, 9 Eastern tonight on the Fox News Channel. So we'll also meet the truck driver again. He's going to give us more details. Apparently there's more evidence. I'm not sure if they're ready to share it. Now, there is a video today. Linda, why don't you explain it? Because I think you do a better job of explaining it than I do. And there's more videos and screenshots now that we have that we'll show on Hannity tonight. But explain it.
There's a lot of video that's happening today. I think the first thing that, you know, the general public needs to be aware is that despite the fact that your mainstream media is not running all of these amazing hearings and we're talking about it for you here on radio, these hearings are happening. Your fellow
Linda,
citizens.
Why is this different than us vetting Obama or doing?
No,
Russia
it's always
and getting
us.
It right?
It's always us and everybody saying, "Oh, I can't believe you're doing that." And then you know, a year later, it's like, "Oh yeah, you were right." You know, although
yeah,
they never
the
say
way,
it out loud.
Can you just tell people what have I been saying privately behind the scenes to everybody? Where are the people? How many times have you heard me say, "Where are they?" I need to talk to them. Affidavits are fine. You're telling us what's in the affidavit. Can we talk to the real people? These people that we're putting on TV and radio every day, they are compelling. Their stories are all compelling. And, you know, when you actually hear it, how many times did I say we need to talk to the people? How many?
A lot. You say things a lot.
Yeah, I do. I do kind of repeat myself. But at the point, but I do it on purpose because I'm like, this is critical. When you can put a face to an affidavit, a legal affidavit signed under the penalty threat of a penalty of perjury, let me tell you something. I don't think you're going to have. Can you get maybe 15 hardcore politicos that would lie because they want a certain result? I think you can get some.
But see,
absolutely.
Here's the thing that I think is being missed, not by you, but by so many. You know, you're talking about this new tape that we have today. So in Georgia, they're having Senate committee hearings to talk to all of these various people that had these very strange experiences, you know, and irregularities and anomalies. And you're not allowed to see this and you can't do that. And these are people that have run voting in Georgia for years. You know, they volunteer their time or they get paid a small salary and they believe it's their civic duty to go and help people vote and cast their vote for their candidate. And all of a sudden, they're not allowed to be poll challengers, poll observers. They can't get in. And then they plead video today in the hearing. And it shows that these people are scanning in ballots. It's from a suitcase underneath the table. There's no one around. There's no observers. There's nobody overseeing anything. And they actually played it in front of the Georgia Oversight Committee. And they're like, here is what's happening. This is what's going on. I got an affidavit from a guy who's been doing independent election research for 20 years in the state of Georgia. He doesn't have, you know, his foot in either camp, you know, blue or red. You know, he's kind of like right down the middle. And he's like, I have proof that I'm going to present today in my affidavit, my signed affidavit that says that I've been doing this for 20 years and I have proof of, you know, votes being switched. However many, it doesn't matter. You know, there are people, their votes matter. And it's like they just don't want them to matter. The only ones that matter are the ones that they, you know, fraudulently put in. And they're destroying evidence. They're getting rid of evidence. There are trucks that are shredding hard drives. There are trucks that are shredding laptops. I mean, you look anywhere on social media. I mean, if it's on Twitter or YouTube or Facebook before they take it down, Parler and Rumble, there's tons of videos. There's tons of people putting out this information. And you have this girl, Melissa Carone, who was on our show the other day, and she's, you know, having this exchange.
We've got to get deeper and support these other big tech companies.
Let me just finish this one thought. She says to the gentleman, that, you know, asking her the question from the dais, she says, I'm sorry, I signed an affidavit, you know, that I would go to prison if I lied, you know, and did you? And he just looks at her like, uh-oh, you know, no, yeah. I didn't. You know, and it's
Christina
just,
did that?
No, that was Melissa Carone in Michigan.
Okay, no, she's great too.
Yeah.
Well, the point is, though, is that now that, you know, we only go with the things that we can independently verify in this program, and which is why, you know, we did focus on Dominion. We did focus on, you know, you never have the media and liberal Democrats like Warren and Wyden and Klobuchar and conservatives from Texas like the Secretary of State and AG all ever agreeing. They did on Dominion. And the Princeton professor is an expert. They all agreed that there's problems. And then you have to ask yourself, why would we ever use it? And, you know, I'm still waiting. I know that they have people, and you've actually talked to some of them that can't speak publicly and haven't signed affidavits yet, but they want to, but they're afraid.
Yeah, they're going to sign affidavits and they're going to do that. But there's a lot of people who are on the inside and they basically are trying to get the information to us in a way where they're still able to, you know, feed their family and pay their mortgage. And that's the choices.
Well, that's a real concern.
And that's a real concern. So once they put their pen to paper.
I'm not being critical.
You know,
not being critical.
But I think the audience needs to know that. You know, when somebody says, no, I can't give that to you right now, you know, think about if you were the person that was giving the evidence, if you were the person who was going to put their name out there, like Jesse or Ethan or,
you know, Christina. They're all getting the crap kicked out of them.
It's terrible.
You know, that's kind of, we signed up for that world. Let's be honest. We get that every day. But I signed up for that. You signed up for that. You know, that's just the fact that you have a microphone in front of you. You sign up for it.
It's absolutely so, right.
But people that just volunteered to be, you know, legal observers that were never allowed to observe, you know, we discovered the laws first. That was one of the first deep dives we got into. And the law, and we just said, oh, my God, it's partisan observers. Get to watch and start to finish, blah, 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 you know, went through all those different laws. And then I'm like, well, those laws weren't followed. Well, you know, to me, that was a much bigger deal than it was to other people. All right, so we're looking at all of this. But, for example, Ethan, Jesse, the truck driver, is going to tell you about, you know, he transported 280,000 ballots from Bethpage, New York, to Pennsylvania. Ethan, the Postal Service subcontractor, who picked up a load, didn't pick one up on Election Day, but the next day they wanted these ballots backdated. How many? 100,000 he's talking about. And you have the court cases moving forward. You know, and a lot of people aren't paying attention, but, you know, today's December 3rd. It's 1 month ago today that the election took place. But in a month and 2 days, then you're going to have the Senate runoff. Anybody that is telling people in Georgia, by the way, not to involve yourself, do not listen to them. That is bad advice. That is really dangerous advice. You know, there's a story on Fox News today how this Stacey Abrams group is now under investigation for voter fraud. By the way, a woman that is praised by Democrats, she never conceded her 2018 loss in the gubernatorial race, and she's heralded as a hero. People say, well, Donald Trump is not going to concede. I said, well, he's just following Stacey Abrams' lead. But the Georgia Secretary of State, one decent thing he's done, he should get rid of these stupid drop boxes that nobody's watching. Chain of command and chain of custody are big issues when you're talking about voting ballots. And of course, the signature verification systems that he allowed and agreed to, that was dumb. And again, the governor could call a special session, has been unwilling to do so. But people out there cannot allow that to influence whether they're going to go out and vote in these senatorial races. This is too important. I mean, it's all on the line in Georgia. Anyway, but they are investigating these groups, including America Votes and Vote Forward and the New Georgia Project, funded by Abrams, previously chaired by the Senate candidate Raphael Warnock, who's got some pretty extreme radical views. And anyway, this idea of registering individuals who are ineligible to vote in the runoff or encouraging people to move to Georgia, if you're there 30 days, you have a legal right to vote. That will be investigated. And when that happens, people are going to be arrested. And as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of this extravaganza. Now, the Trump campaign, just to update you for today, a judge granting the Trump campaign access to look at the testing material that were used to test the voting machines. The other side has been stonewalling. Judge will likely ask why today. We expect that, and they won't. Why they wouldn't give access. Trump campaign arguing Nevada, there are more stringent rules for gaming and voting and irregularities that need to be looked into regard to signature match voting machines. The judge will look at the motion to dismiss from the other side. I don't think it's going to be granted. The Trump campaign has listed 31 witnesses. Three are witness experts that testified today. Some there are Jane Does, who've asked to testify privately for security reasons. You have a Washington Examiner piece out today. Again, we talked about the videotape now that has emerged in Georgia that we'll show you tonight. We're efforting an attempt to get this video that apparently now exists. Key Native American leaders, according to the Washington Examiner, working with the Biden campaign, offered tribal members and associates Visa gift cards, jewelry, other, quote, swag to vote in the presidential election, according to several videos being used by the Trump campaign's effort to challenge out in Nevada. One long video, officials from Reno, Sparks Indian Colony, are shown offering a raffle for gift cards and values of $2,500, $250, $500 to those who can prove they voted. Other gifts include bracelets, necklaces, earrings, T-shirts, masks. And if you come here to vote, or if you voted already, Reno Colony is having a raffle, said their spokesperson and one spokeswoman in one of the videos. Also saying there are a lot of great things to push you guys to get out there to vote and challenge you to get out there to vote. In the same video, she's shown wearing a Biden-Harris antivirus mask and in front of a Biden-Harris campaign bus. And that is apparently going to be shown out in Carson City and out in Nevada in that case and that challenge out there. In their briefing paper, the campaign referred to a Native American Votes for Dollars scandal. And a shocking number of states have discovered the groups claiming to support the Native American community have engaged in what would be illegal. That might be called bribery. Anyway, we'll see if that emerges today. All right, 25 to the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. So we went over the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision. They were very, very clear. They were not basing a decision to push this down to a lower court today based on anything to do with the merit of the lawsuit. Actually, quite the contrary. Three of the seven, you know, seemed to indicate, yeah, this seems to be a real case here. And another, you know, indicating you just have to follow the process. So that would be four of seven, potential majority. Then we've got the legal case that is now going to be in open court with witnesses later this afternoon in Nevada that we're following. We are now watching the hearings that have been going on all day in Georgia. We're following that. Again, we're going to have updates on all of these tonight at by 9 o'clock Eastern on Hannity on Fox. Both in Nevada and in Georgia now, videotapes have emerged that are beyond interesting. In one case in Georgia, Linda will tweet it out, but you got footage from Georgia showing suitcases that are filled with ballots pulled from under a table after supervisors told workers to leave the room. Four people stayed behind to keep counting votes. Whoopsie daisy. Apparently, Linda, there's another tape as well where that we know, newly acquired surveillance tape from the State Farm Arena in Georgia. Also, apparently, after people have been sent home, there was a feverish counting of ballots. I don't know if that has been released yet, but I've been told that that tape exists in reality, and that is going to also be released. And videotape out of now Nevada that we're looking at that's going to be apparently presented this afternoon, we expect, about a vote-buying scheme. Washington Examiner describes it as key Native American leaders working with the Biden campaign, and well, just I was going through all of that new information. So it's just, you know, a pretty amazing developments when you think of it. Now, in the course of this program today, we have a lot of witnesses. Again, all of them have signed affidavits that'll be on this program today. All of them under the penalty of perjury. And this is what's so fascinating about all of them. We've been hearing from the media, okay, show us the evidence. Show us the proof. Show us the evidence. Show us the proof. Well, you know, let me go through this for the dumb people that are liberal out there that may not understand how the system works. When somebody, look, and I didn't finish this thought earlier, there might be some people that are just pure politicos that for partisan purposes, do I think they'd be capable of signing a false affidavit knowing that they're lying for the purpose of benefiting their political point of view? I do believe there are some people that'll do anything in life and cheat any way they can. I do believe that. It's a dumb thing to do. It's like people, friends of mine, you know, ask me all the time about taxes. How do you say it? I'm like, yeah, you got to pay them. I said, you take all your legal deductions, then you got to pay. And if you don't, you're really stupid because you're now opening up a legal vulnerability in your life that's, you know, whatever the amount of money, you got to ask yourself, is it worth it? The answer is no. And by the way, I just happen to know, you know, a lot of dumb people that have not taken this stuff seriously and even otherwise smart people. And, you know, I always tell them, you know, my financial guys, I'm like, I don't want to be a broke athlete in the course of my life. If I'm making some money and I can save it, I want to save it. And I'm saying it in a nice way, but, you know, I know they've managed, you know, sometimes athletes think their careers will go on forever, and it doesn't. They spend and spend and spend and buy homes and cars, and they're generous as can be, but then they end up, you know, at the end of their career, they don't have anything. And it's sad because you only have X number of years your body can take being beaten up on a football field or a hockey rink or in the octagon. So, you know, but the same thing goes for, you know, other financial endeavors. You know, people want to take shortcuts. I'm like, I don't like to pay my taxes. I don't like the laws. I want to fight to change them all. And I can't stand what's about to happen to the country if Joe Biden ever becomes president. And, you know, then the states like New York, you have Cuomo saying, yeah, we're going to probably raise taxes higher than California. Okay, that is an invitation. Leave the state. Just leave. And you already see the mass exodus out of New York City and state, and it's only going to get bigger. They're chasing people away. And, you know, it's not a good idea. But you got to follow laws. And but so when you were dealing with, okay, maybe a dozen people, two dozen people that would be willing to lie, I believe that's possible because people can be stupid. People break laws all the time. I'm like, you know, I used to have a heavy foot. I don't want to speed anymore because I don't want to ever hurt anybody. So I try not to. You know, I pay attention to it. Try and keep my devices away from me anytime I'm in a car because it's just too distracting. We've all had that experience. You're trying to text and drive or whatever, or look at a text. You know, you could very easily take your eyes off the road. Don't do it. It's a dumb idea. They ought to have these kill switches that phones can't work in cars, if you want to know my take on it. And so, you know, certain things that you do just to be smart. Just like I've said, you know, I'm not against the mask for the short period of time so we can go to baseball games and football games. And also, you know what? I'm not really worried about Corona for me. I'm just not. How many scares have we had in the course of this thing? A lot. And, you know, where, you know, you just, it's happened to many of us. But, you know, I would be more concerned about ever passing it on to an innocent person, an older person, or maybe somebody who's more likely to get sick with a pre-existing condition, grandma, grandpa, whoever's in your life, mom, dad. You know, there is that percentage of people that this thing sticks to. Now, it's not the vast majority, thank God. It's not young people by a long shot. It can happen with young people, very, very rare. And you just make good decisions in life. Anyway, so I would think when you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of signed sworn affidavits under penalty of perjury, you're not going to get that many people to lie. There's not that many people that would do that. And if they would, they're dumb. That would be dumb. And they're not helping anybody by ever doing that. But I don't think, I actually think just the opposite. I think it's actually hard for people that have been coming forward to know the penalty if they were to lie, but they feel compelled to tell the truth because they believe in law and order and free and fair elections. And they saw things or were treated in such horrific ways and laws were being violated, they feel compelled to talk. And we're going to talk to a number of them in the course of today's show, just like we're going to talk to a number of them on TV tonight, because that would actually be called evidence. If you're in a court of law, let's say it's a murder case, and you have one eyewitness, I saw this guy walk up behind this old lady, put the gun to the back of her head and pull the trigger and kill this person in cold blood. Now, that's the only, let's say the gun was never recovered. Let's say there's no other forensic evidence available. But the testimony, is that the person? Yes, I see it clearly. Have any doubt? Okay, then you get cross-examined. A jury can convict, send somebody to jail for the rest of their life, or even give them the death penalty based on the testimony of an eyewitness. That's evidence presented in a court of law. You know, liberal media, the mob has been, where's the evidence? By the way, I've been frustrated. I'm not going to lie, because we had the affidavits. We were bringing Kayleigh McEnany on TV every night. We've been covering the story here. We've been looking at everything that we can confirm. We've confirmed. I mean, we've gone through a lot of this in great detail, and we talked about all of this because it's been important. But, you know, we always are independent and forge our own way, and I have to, for my own you know, my own integrity. I insist on vetting everything with my teams, my radio team, my TV teams. And sometimes we were a little slow. What do you say? How many times do you remember, Linda, we had the story, we had, you know, we had two sources independently confirming it, but we'd still wait sometimes. Remember, we would say, just,
oh, yeah, I remember.
And you were
my favorite thing is waiting.
You were the one that was usually most annoyed, true or false?
Oh, always.
Right, because you felt I was being at times maybe too cautious, right?
Yeah, and I would say that's an understatement, but sure.
But in the end, we did get everything right, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Everything.
I default to you. You know, we have to follow our gut. You typically do, and you're right sometimes. A lot of times.
Okay, I'm right more than sometimes. We're always right. We were never wrong on Obama.
No, I didn't mean on the issues. I just mean on waiting. Because sometimes I would have split the difference. You know, I wouldn't wait quite as long as you did.
But we ended up making sure that everything on the phony Russia collusion thing was true. We first started vetting Biden family corruption when we had the first interview with Peter Schweizer.
And that guy's amazing. I mean, the work that GAI does, forget about it.
You know, Secret Empires, we interviewed him. We had the first interview on radio and the first interview on TV in 2018. We've been all over this. The media didn't do quid pro quo Joe and zero experience Hunter in Ukraine, and they ignored it. They ignored Hillary's dossier. They ignored the FISA warrants based on the phony dossier. You know, they ignored all of the abuse of power and corruption. They ignored quid pro quo Joe and zero experience Hunter and Biden family corruption and the China deal and the Ukraine deal and the Kazakhstan deal and the Russia deal. They ignored it all. And then Project Veritas has the, you know, tapes. There is the fearless leader of fake news CNN bragging, we're not going to cover that Biden family story. I bet if it's Trump, they're covering it. I mean, it just shows how phony and abusively biased they all are. But so, you know, sometimes it takes us a little bit longer. But I've been as frustrated as many of you because we've been unpeeling the onion about, okay, this is what we can tell you about Dominion. And we actually have a lot of other information, but we can't. Linda, you even agree on this, that we just aren't ready to go with it yet. You know, we're in the process of doing our due diligence, which it takes time, unfortunately. And, you know, this whole process has been frustrating, waiting to hear from real people behind the real legal affidavits signed under penalty of perjury. I've been wanting to interview the people for a long time. And now that we are interviewing them, they're just like everything else that we do independently. Their stories have been compelling. And it's all over the place. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, you know, now out in Arizona and elsewhere. It is beyond, you know, compelling. You know, the media does what they always do. They, you know, we were the ones that found the laws about partisan observers legally in the statutory language in every one of these states allowed to observe in the entire vote counting process. You know, chain of custody of ballots is not being followed in Georgia. Signature verification issues. We discovered all that. You know, all the new ballots that were just pulled out of thin air here, there, and everywhere. You know, Democrats trying to unilaterally in Pennsylvania change the law and extend the counting of votes of late votes without postmarks.
You know something, Sean? You know what I think is something that we should talk about? We haven't actually talked about it at all.
What?
Is we have no receipt for our vote, right?
Nope.
So, like, you take your paycheck. A friend of mine said this to me the other day, and I was like, man, that is such a great analogy. He's like, you take your paycheck. If you're going to put it in the ATM machine, you take a look at it, it screenshots it for you, you approve it, and you get a receipt that you put this money into this machine on this day at this time, and this is how much you put in, and this is your balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But imagine if somebody said, oh yeah, we're not going to give you any of that confirmation, you're just going to put it in. Mm-hmm. You go, I'm not doing that, that's crazy. That's exactly what you do with your vote. You go, you take the time, you fill it out, you do everything right, then you put it in a machine,
hey.
You have absolutely no idea where it goes.
Listen, here's one other thing. There's a reason they don't use these machines in Canada. There's a reason. You know, and look at like the Wisconsin case, which I explained in detail, or look at the case in Nevada, which I explained in detail. Look at the case that they're trying to get in the U.S. Supreme Court. Ted Cruz did the best summary of this of anybody, and I know the great one did also, Mark Levin. Pennsylvania Constitution requires in-person voting except in narrow, defined circumstances. The Pennsylvania legislature passed a law that you know, purportedly allows universal mail-in voting. Problem is, the Constitution expressly prohibits it. That's now a legal constitutional issue. That's a real issue. Just like if you, in the state of Wisconsin, you have to sign an actual application before you get handed an absentee ballot. Hundreds of thousands of people didn't follow the legal process. That's a problem. You know, so we literally now are watching and following all of this, and it's now beginning to get very real. Now, I'm not even going to venture what the possible outcome is here. I'm just not going there. I'm just saying we're going to pursue facts and truth. You know, the Georgia Senate is states, they're holding their fraud hearings today. It's powerful what's going on. We'll have it all, you know, summed up for you tonight. Just crazy stuff, and it's sad. It breaks my heart, to be honest, that, you know, all of this can happen in the U.S., hearing from real people, like, they're cool people. They're fellow Americans. They're awesome Americans. And you could just tell that, you know, they're in a state of shock, and that many of them were treated horribly just for doing, like, a civic duty and taking time out of their busy day and volunteering to do this. They're not getting paid. All right, glad you're with us. 800-941-SHAWN. If you want to be a part of this extravaganza, we're following cases now all over the country today. And I'll tell you, everything has now changed dramatically now that the people behind the affidavits that we've been telling you with exist and what they've been saying, it's just not as powerful as real people that sign real affidavits under penalty, the threat of penalty of a perjury, or these witnesses that will be sworn in Nevada later. And we'll have full coverage of that tonight. And this video that exists, apparently, that the Washington Examiner is talking about in terms of a Native American group out in leaders working with the Biden campaign out in the state of Nevada. And then the Georgia video that I told you we're going to air tonight. And then Georgia having hearings in the Senate today that have been blockbuster. We'll give you a full update and report there. Then we have the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision. And they were very clear. We're not kicking this to a lower court based on the merits. No, that's what the process, the law calls for. Actually, we do see merit pretty much three of the seven. And one was just saying, no, you just got to follow the process. So a lot of progress, that coupled with the Pennsylvania case, which I've gone into detail, kind of like the Wisconsin case, where in Pennsylvania, constitutional law was not followed. It's clear. The same thing, the Constitution does not allow all these mail-in ballots. The state legislature did something that was unconstitutional. Well, that'd be the same thing in Wisconsin. And that is that if you want to apply for an absentee ballot, you have to sign for it, and hundreds of thousands did not. And there's a court case, there's precedence there that they ruled in favor of what the Trump campaign is arguing in this court. That is fascinating. Anyway, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich is with us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, and I have to say, as a historian, I am astonished and fascinated by how this thing just keeps opening up and opening up and opening up, and every day there's something new, some new witness, some new insight, some new revelation, not just in one or two states, but, you know, across the country. I mean, this is truly, without any question, there are more election questions in 2020 than any election in American history. It's astonishing.
How could it not be when we've never had this level of mail-in ballots? Now, when there was the Baker-Carter Commission in 2005 and they released their findings, they were very clear. The New York Times has been very clear. Anybody that has a brain, frankly, understands that potential vote fraud potential rises dramatically when you have all these mail-in ballots. But now we know all of these laws were not followed now. And I'm listening to these whistleblowers, these witnesses, one after, there are hundreds and hundreds of them, and it's blowing me away.
Well, and my guess is there's going to be more and more because, you know, the real key to this kind of breakdown is the first couple of people have to have a lot of courage because they're alone. And then there are a few more people and then there are a few more people, and all of a sudden it gets to be really easy to continue down this road. And I think that's what you're seeing happen now, is that there's just a real breakthrough in terms of what's going on, and that I wouldn't be at all surprised the next week to see even more witnesses, even more affidavits, even more videos, and it's just going to keep growing for a while.
Did you see the videos that were released in your beloved state of Georgia? I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. Video footage, Georgia, showing suitcases filled with ballots, Newt, pulled from under a table after supervisors told poll workers to leave the room. Four people stayed then behind to count the ballots they took out of the suitcases.
Oh, yeah. This is, you know, and you have, of course, the eyewitnesses who have now sworn affidavits about bringing entire truckloads of ballots across the state line.
By the way, that driver is joining us in the next half hour.
Well, and think about the risk that driver is taking. I mean, you know, there's really an effort to bully the country into shutting up. I mean, if you want to talk about bullying, it's all on the left. It's all hostile. And it's basically trying to say, don't tell the truth, as opposed to, gosh, look at all the witnesses. Maybe we should really be investigating this.
You know, I'll bring people into our private relationship for a second here in terms of, you know, you've always been the historian in this relationship, not me. And you're the professor in the relationship, not me, because that's actually your real passion and your real love. And I called you one day, maybe it was one night. I think I might have woke you up. I forgot what time you were on. I was telling you how frustrated I am that we weren't hearing from the people, but just that, well, this is coming. And it's certainly powerful when people sign an affidavit under penalty of perjury, but then when you actually hear from the real person, and it's not one person, it's hundreds and hundreds of them in every single state that we're talking about.
Well, you can imagine, in fact, what we're going through is the equivalent of a national jury trial, in which the American people is the jury. You know, you hear the first five, you think, well, that's kind of strange. You hear the next 15 or 20, you start to think, gee, maybe something's there. What do you do when there are 300, 400, 500? What do you do when there are videos from multiple states? I mean, at what point do you just break and say, you know, this is totally wrong and it has to be fixed? And I think the country is moving in that direction despite every effort of the left-wing propaganda media to stop it. I think the country is talking to itself, and that's why you're seeing more and more people show up as witnesses who, you know, who love the country more than they're afraid of being isolated.
You know, I'm looking at this, and here's the sad part for me, is that you look at all the states that get this right, and I made this point very early on. I think we were the first show to find. I actually spent the time, and I had my team. And Linda remembers my. I was adamant one day that I wanted the laws in every state about the ability of partisan observers to observe the process. And every state had the word "partisan observers shall have the right to observe the counting from start to finish, absentee ballots, you know, voting machine ballot, everything." And that no state actually enforced that law. Nobody. People testifying under oath, signing affidavits that they were 6, 20, 100 feet away, or not even allowed in at all. One person after another. Now these people are telling how horribly, if you're a Republican partisan observer, you were treated and kicked out of rooms and not allowed in the door. And one person for 80 counting tables. And nobody can read anything from 6 feet away or 20 feet away. And it's unbelievable the abuse that was handed out to people that volunteer to ensure integrity in our elections. And it's everywhere. It is on a mass scale. Now, the most fascinating statistical thing I see is, well, you know, I didn't know Joe Biden was this popular, Mr. Speaker, because he got 15 million more votes than Obama. and 15 million more than Hillary in 2016. And Hillary actually outperformed Joe Biden with minorities in every major city, except Milwaukee, except Detroit, except Philadelphia, except Fulton County, Georgia, except in Nevada. Now, I don't know. I'm just saying, what a wonderful, great coincidence for him. You know, that, oh, he magically pops to these dramatic percentages above Obama and what Hillary got with minority voters just in those key cities.
Well, you know, first of all, I don't think any serious person believes that it's true, that Biden somehow got 10 million more votes than Barack Obama did. But beyond that, I think you have to really raise a question about the whole underlying structure. I mean, all these machines, you know, we've had 10 or 15 years now of a steady decay in the integrity of our elections. And we've seen tremendous efforts by the left to make sure that you couldn't know who the person was, you couldn't guarantee their identity, you couldn't ask for a photo ID. Just go down the list. And then we have machines that are operating through Barcelona, Spain, to Frankfurt, Germany, and now we're learning all sorts of weird things about the machines. I mean, how could the United States turn the choosing of its elected leaders over to a series of systems that are this clearly weird? I mean, they may or may not be corrupt. They're clearly weird, and it makes no sense. And I think it's calling on all of us to insist on an honest election program. And I think in the next 2 years, this will be one of the major reform movements in the country.
I do agree with you, and it doesn't, unfortunately, you know, help in this election, and the damage is done. You know, and then you have states that are desperately, like Georgia, you love Georgia, that are desperately trying to destroy and shred the hard drives of these machines. Now, they had problems in the primary. You never see the liberal media, liberals like Elizabeth Warren, Klobuchar, Wyden, conservatives like the Secretary of State AG at Texas, and a liberal tenured professor that's a voting machine expert, all agree on one thing. They all agreed on the Dominion machines. Let's go to your state of Georgia. We got in 1 month and 2 days these two Senate runoff races, and I am very concerned whether or not, and you know Georgia as well as anybody, we actually met in Alabama, but we had four wonderful years there together when you became Speaker. And I love Georgia, and I love the people of Georgia, and I'm just worried that Stacey Abrams PAC machine that's being investigated, apparently, according to the Secretary of State, that nothing's changed. Nothing. The governor refuses to call the special session. These hearings today are blockbuster there.
Well, look, I think that, and I've said this today on several different occasions, every conservative in Georgia owes it to America to show up and vote for Senator Perdue and Senator Loeffler. I mean, no one should kid themselves about what's at stake here. If you end up with two radicals, and my newsletter on Friday describes San Francisco John Ossoff and explains why I use that term. Now, their first fundraiser going into the runoff was in San Francisco. He's raised more money in California than he has in Georgia. He is totally committed to the Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, left-wing worldview. And, of course, Warnock is even more radical. So nobody should be confused about this. This is the most important runoff election in American history. It will decide the entire shape of the next 4 years. And it is vital that conservatives turn out. I will also tell you, because I spend time on this every single day, I had a very good briefing today from the Republican National Committee, which has brought in some real professionals to begin to work on the whole issue of ballot security and making sure that this thing is done correctly. And I feel a little better tonight that we finally have first-class people actually focused on making sure that we get an honest count. But I think nobody should kid themselves. Any conservative who stays home is helping Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi and the radicals take control of America.
Listen, we both have a mutual friend, Matt Towery. Another guy, the two pollsters that got it right in 2016 and 20, Matt Towery and Robert Cahaly, they're both from Georgia. They're both telling me they think the Republicans are underdogs, both of them.
Well, I think they're underdogs, but I think they'll win in the end because I think the reality is when you look at how radical Warnock is, probably the most radical person ever nominated by a major star party for the Senate. And then you look at how Ossoff is essentially the wholly owned creature of San Francisco and Silicon Valley. In his House special election, he got something like 88% of his money in the last 2 months came from outside Georgia. This guy has no relationship to Georgia. And so I think it is really, really important that we focus on getting this thing done.
Well, the president's going down there this weekend. It should be fascinating to watch. Huh? All right, Mr. Speaker, by the way, thanks for talking me off the ledge the one night because I was getting so mad right. We weren't actually hearing from the people yet. But we're now hearing from them, finally. All right, 800-941-SEAN. Now, that truck driver who took the ballots from Long Island to Pennsylvania, he's going to be back, Jesse, and also the United States Postal Service contractor that is signed an affidavit about 100,000 votes. Postal Service was saying they need to change the date. The postmark will join us, and then three other real whistleblowers and eyewitnesses that signed affidavits will be joining us. They'll speak in their own words, tell you what they saw. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program. Let me go to another Pennsylvania poll watcher talking about voting irregularities there. I want to remind you that the testimony in court today, Nevada eyewitnesses, is taking place. We'll have full coverage tonight, 9 Eastern on Hannity. News you won't get anywhere else from the media mob. Also, we're following the state of Georgia today. We have a huge update on the Supreme Court of Wisconsin didn't take the case, but they said, oh, yeah, we're really interested in this case, but you got to just follow the process and go through the lower court first. Very favorable, my read of it all, and Reince Priebus will update us. I told you that was a real case. But here's Greg Stenstrom, a Pennsylvania poll watcher, talking about the irregularities that he saw.
And then we had, in addition to having a forensically destructive process, all custody seats are gone now as well. And as of today, there were 47 USB sticks missing, and now we understand there's 64 USB sticks missing, which comprises thousands of votes, which are now in question.
All right, joining us now, we bring back to the program Jesse and Ethan. They're ballot fraud whistleblowers. They were United States Postal Service subcontractors who saw a lot of the irregularities surrounding the election and ballots on election day surrounding it. And they're talking about witnesses in the form of, again, affidavits, video interviews that is now being used by this Amistad project that I've been telling you about, and their litigation about, you know, election integrity, how to uphold laws in key states. Anyway, Jesse, thank you for being with us. Welcome back to the program. And Ethan, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
How's your day going?
How's my day? My days are very stressful. If you really care, if you want a real answer, is this, how you doing? You know how people say, how are you? And I'm like, do you really care? No. Most of us ask the question. We don't want to hear, my days suck, but they're just busy, like all of yours. Why don't I go back? Let's just remind people, Jesse, of your story, and then we'll let you do the same thing, because I think it's important, because there's been a lot of reaction to both of them. Jesse.
Yeah, there has been a lot of reactions to both of them. I kind of just kind of stay off of everything. I see what people show me, but I just kind of stay off because, at the end of the day, I stay level-headed. And what I do is I have people that reach out to me, like through Messenger and stuff, and send me messages and let me know that, appreciate what I'm doing and whatnot. But I don't know. It's been a wild few weeks for me here, brother. I tell you that much.
Yeah, well, explain, but give more specifics. Go through your day that day.
Do you want? All right, so that day, whenever everything happened, everything started out normal. It was a normal day. I went to Lancaster, picked up my tractor, drove over, got my trailer, secured my load. And so I picked up my my trailer, got my slip, and off I rolled to Bethpage, New York. I got there. I checked in with security. I went and dropped my trailer in the door. I walked in. That's when everything got weird. I went over. I gave the lady, the expediter, my slip. And whenever I gave her my slip, she said, hey, guess what? She's like, you have mail-in ballots that you're taking back today. And I said, what? And she's like, you have a bunch of mail-in ballots that you're taking back today. And I was like, oh, really? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, well, you know, I'm like, well, that's pretty cool, you know, like, sweet, you know. Like, I thought I was doing something for, like, the election, you know. And, I go to the trailer, and I watch them unload it, and then I watch them bring pallets in. The first two pallets were for Lancaster. They were kind of tall pallets. Hold on a second. They're kind of tall pallets. And you know they're for Lancaster also because on the front of them, they have these white placards or piece of paper. It says Lancaster. Then there's a scan code there where they, when they take it off, they can scan it in when it gets to its destination. So they're in there. They're kind of tall. And, I take them off or they put them on. And then the next pallet,
Jesse, and you're looking at the pallets, and in Bethpage,
I watched all of them go in. I watch all of them go in just because I like to see how my trailer is secured or loaded.
Yeah, you got to load it the right way, right?
Yep, and I do that just because I don't want it loaded heavy on one side or heavy loaded in the back or in the front.
You got to do it the right way. You know, trucking is a lot more complicated than I think people know, and everything we get is because of you guys that you work and deliver everything we have in every store and everything that comes to our homes. But I want to ask you this. But you, when you saw them loading ballots, Pennsylvania voting ballots in Bethpage, New York, did that not right away, like, raise in your head, what the hell is this?
No, it honestly, God, it didn't, because I didn't know. I don't know the process. It didn't raise anything. I didn't think about it at all. To be honest, I was excited that I was doing something to help out the election. Like, I was like, that's what I was thrilled about. It wasn't until later that I thought I was sitting there. I'm like, well, why am I taking these pallets, you know? Like, why am I taking these pallets out of New York into Pennsylvania?
And you went to Lancaster and Harrisburg, correct?
Yeah, into Harrisburg.
Yeah, all right. So my question then is, it's probably a long shot, at any point did you take a picture of the load?
No, I didn't take a picture because, all right, so whenever... When it's sealed up, I can't gain access to it. The seal,
right. They put a seal around it. Sometimes they put it in a box that you can't open, right?
Yeah, I can't.
That protects you. That protects them. What about, so then you have this, you get there and you're offloading and they're taking forever and you're waiting for the normal processes, which you get a slip that they accept a delivery, and then you had a 6-hour wait time. You get paid for that time. That's not free time. They have to pay for it if they delay you, and they did. But then they didn't want to give you either slip. Jesse, did I lose you? We might have lost Jesse there. We'll get him back. Ethan, now you bring us into the great state of Wisconsin. And, you know, you're talking about 100,000 votes in your case. Tell us what you saw.
Could you repeat that?
Yeah, you bring us to the state of Wisconsin, and what you witnessed impacts about 100,000 ballots. What happened that you saw?
Well, I would do a
a nightly certified run with my job to the United States Postal Service lobby in Madison, Wisconsin. And while I was doing that...
You're a subcontractor.
Yep, as a subcontractor for UMS, which is United Mailing Services, based out of Wisconsin. But I was I had a nightly certified run to the USPS, and on my certified run the night after the election, the lobby supervisor asked me if I'd forgotten to bring ballots the previous night on election night. I had no ballots to bring in on election night, so I thought that was very weird. And, you know, when I had no ballots on election night, I didn't think anything of it. The end of the election.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, what's fascinating about your story to me is that now it's November 4th, and then you heard and were told what?
Well, I was told that 100,000 ballots had gone missing in the state of Wisconsin, and an order came down from the Wisconsin-Illinois chapter of the Postal Service
to go looking for
those ballots.
Yeah. And so, okay, and now they're then you heard an order to backdate them because, oh, we should have gotten them there earlier, right?
Yep, because if they had been received by the Postal Service on or before Election Day, then they would have been postmarked for the 3rd, and they would have been able to get into election officials. But since they got in on the 4th, they would have had to be backdated, and that's what a second Postal Service employee told me when I asked them about it, just to see if I was going to get in trouble, because I thought maybe I had forgotten the ballots, and I wanted to make sure I was covering myself and my job.
You know, I just can't believe, you know, I'm sitting here and like, and I'm listening to you and I'm listening to Jesse and I'm like, I mean, this is unbelievable to me. Now, did you assume at the time that that would be vote fraud?
When the first USPS employee spoke to me, it didn't really occur to me. But after I spoke to the second one and I found out that they had backdated them, I realized the severity of the situation and that in some sort of way there was some sort of fraud going on.
Jesse, let me go back to you because we were talking about whether or not you had a chance to take a photo of any of these things. If you weren't able to take a photo or didn't think of it at the time, you just thought, oh, I'm just delivering ballots, and it didn't occur to you till later. Wait a minute, this doesn't make sense to take them across state lines from New York and Bethpage, Long Island to Pennsylvania. Now, do you have any access or ability to access the GPS system showing that you took this route?
Oh yeah, we I'm really confident in the evidence that we have, and with Phil Klein and his team, this is just the tip of the story here that's coming out. Like everything else, there's a lot of stuff that we're holding back on. Because at the end of the day, you need to remember that.
Jesse, we have a rule on this show: no holding back on your friend Sean Hannity.
Well, look, at the end of the day, they're playing. We're not playing checkers anymore. We're playing chess. All right, so we have to play the same kind of game that they are. This is a pretty big organization that for them to orchestrate this. It wasn't just one or two people.
You're saying that you now have more information that'll shed a lot more light on these hundreds of thousands of ballots that you transported from Bethpage, Long Island to Pennsylvania?
Say that question again, sir.
You're telling us that there will be a lot more information and evidence coming out regarding your load of hundreds of thousands of ballots that you drove from Bethpage, Long Island to Pennsylvania. You're saying there's a lot more evidence coming?
There will be more evidence coming out. There will be more evidence. So,
gosh, I hate not knowing. I like to know. I like to know everything. That's what I do for a living.
I believe you like to know, but right now
I'm just messing with you.
Let me ask you this.
Now, since they didn't give you these slips, which is part of the normal procedures, and by the way, you need to get paid. That's part of the process for you to get paid, and they wouldn't give them to you. What'd you do then?
Well, I sent a text to my boss telling him the situation, telling him that that they won't give me a late slip or a my ticket or a late slip, And they're telling me to take the load to Lancaster. And my boss, he was asking who the expediter was, and he said, so let me know the hours, and he'll get the pay. And I told him it was a transportation supervisor. So, I have all that, but, I mean, it's just the whole
so
thing.
So your boss was being cool about it, like, yeah, they should give it to you, but we're still going to pay you.
Yeah, I believe I got paid. I mean, I know I got paid, but he just basically told me, asked for who it was that told me to leave, and then asked for my hours.
Well, this had to be like a 14-hour day for you by the end of the day, right?
That was more like a 16.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long day. Well, yeah. Listen, as soon as you can, please update us. Our audience wants to get an update from you. When you get when you're available to share that new evidence, we want it to be shared if you can. Ethan, same with you. Thank you for telling your story. Very courageous. Have either of you had any threats from anybody real quick? Ethan?
Say that again?
Have either of you faced any threats or criticism, Ethan?
Yeah. Hey, let me jump in real quick because I'm literally getting ready to take another interview here. What I will say about that is that I have had.
All right, I'll tell you what. We'll let you guys go, but we'll have you back soon. How's that? All right, Ethan and Jesse.
Sounds
thank
good,
you guys.
Sean.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean.
Thanks, guys. We'll continue.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
All right, news roundup and information overload hour, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. We have a lot going on around the country today, not the least of which the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Very encouraging. We are not saying there are not merits here. Looks like there is, blah, blah, blah. But the has to go to the district court first before we see it. We look forward to getting it. I thought that was promising. I've been telling you the Wisconsin case is going to be big. Then in Pennsylvania, if the U.S. Supreme Court takes it, we've gone over the constitutional issues involved in that case. That's big. Then we have all this evidence being presented out in Nevada today. Enough votes that would overturn that election out there, which would, by the way, those three states would then bring us to 269 electoral votes each, Biden and Trump. Long shot? Of course. Possible? Yeah, of course. If you believe in the rule of law. Anyway, here's the president in part of his speech yesterday.
Many very smart people have congratulated me on all we've done. The biggest tax cuts in history, Space Force, and so much more. But then they went on to say, as big and as important as these events were, the single greatest achievement in your presidency will be exactly what you're doing right now. Voter integrity for our nation. It's more important than any of the things that we discussed. If we don't root out the fraud, the tremendous and horrible fraud that's taken place in our 2020 election, we don't have a country anymore. So with the resolve and support of the American people, we will restore honesty and integrity to our elections, and we will restore trust in our system of government. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America.
Now, we're going to get to some whistleblowers, witnesses that have been testifying in just a minute, but I want to just sum up, as we have Michigan witnesses, again, all signing affidavits under the penalty of perjury. Well, that's called evidence. Everybody, where's the evidence? Well, that would be in a court of law. That would be evidence. That would be the testimony of eyewitnesses. Then put under cross-examination. That's enough. And one witness, eyewitness, can actually end up in the conviction of somebody for murder, for example. Listen.
So as we began to look at that, my team focused on anomalous patterns where votes were entered in an amount of time that was physically impossible for the tabulation machines to process the votes. And so we found four spikes in the analysis that exceeded the tabulation machine's ability to process that amount of votes in a timeline. And that was in Kent County, Macomb County, Oakland County, and Wayne County. And again, this data was from Dominion and published, in open source. So those anomalies pointed us to a couple other things that some of your previous witnesses, who I just heard tonight, but the incremental absentee vote punches were there was a big move from 652 on the morning of the 4th, 16,000 absentee votes were processed. Between 6:52 and 7:49 local time on the 4th, an additional 213,429 absentee votes were processed, and this aligns with some of the observations that the previous witnesses made. And then at 11:15 in a time 11:15 that same morning in a time period of about 8 minutes. Which correlates to the time our previous witness, Ms. Jesse, testified. There was 56,098 votes processed in an eight-minute period. Now, each one of these machines can process about 20,000 votes an hour. So you can do the math yourself, or it's in our affidavit. So the anomalous activity led us to believe that just looking at the data, that there were red flags for fraudulent activities, and we have subsequently asked for our team or someone else to do the forensic analysis to determine exactly what happened.
All right, joining us now to discuss, she testified herself. Christina Caramo is with us, and also Dr. Linda Tarver is the president of Tarver Consulting. Christina was a poll watcher in Michigan. Ian Northen is with us with the Amistad Project and also with the Thomas More Society. Thank you all for being with us. All right, Ian, let me ask you what your project is now involved in. You're representing two female Michigan voters, Angelic Johnson, and you're representing who's also with us, Dr. Linda Lee Tarver, claiming election officials robbed them of their votes by illegally undermining a fair election. Tell us the lawsuit.
That's right. Thanks for having me. This is an important case. You know, my clients lawfully voted in Michigan, and they cast good votes. And unfortunately, when you allow for illegality or unlawfulness or illegal votes, as we've seen here on a widespread scale throughout the state, it waters down those good votes of my clients and others. And so people talk about integrity, they talk about fairness, but it doesn't mean much unless it's also accurate, right? The popular vote doesn't mean anything if you're counting people who didn't actually vote in favor of those who did. And so we've seen widespread problems, widespread illegalities, and we've got, just in my case, more than three dozen eyewitnesses. You know, you mentioned evidence. You know, this is what we call direct evidence. This isn't even circumstantial evidence. That's when the experts and the data guys, you know, make, you know, crunch the numbers and do the extrapolations. But when you have direct evidence of people seeing with their own eyes serious irregularities, not following the statutes as written, instead, you've got unelected bureaucrats, unelected election officials making it up as they go or doing it how they wish it was written. That's an abusive process, and that's why we filed suit in the Michigan Supreme Court. We were aggrieved. My clients were aggrieved with those irregularities, and they want the Michigan legislature and others to do their job, their constitutional duty, to make sure that every vote, I should say every lawful vote counts, and that theirs don't get watered down. So many that we saw, not just on election day itself, but in other cases throughout the night and throughout the next day, veterans' ballots being pushed off to the corner, not being treated the same way in one county as another. It's really shocking. And for being a guy from Michigan myself, you know, I grew up here. I went away for a while to other places like Florida and came back home. I've spent my whole professional career trying to get back home. And now that I got here, you know, I'm almost embarrassed because we can't even count. It's really shameful. And of course, we can count, and we shouldn't be so naive to think that we can't do those things. It's because we don't want to look, right? You can't trust what you can't verify, and you can't count what you can't see. And here we've got a situation where, you know, regular people are being kicked out of the counting rooms, whether they're bipartisan challengers or GOP challengers. They're being kicked out of the counting room in favor of paid consultants or you know, partisan Democrats. And look, this shouldn't be about party. This should be about process, and right now, election integrity demands a closer look at the process.
You're also, by the way, claiming in your suit that they sent out in this state, in Michigan, 355 1,392 unsolicited ballots. By the way, that gets out into the, you know, the real lawsuit in the state of Wisconsin, which is that the people actually have to sign up and apply for and make application for these ballots if they're not going to vote in person. And in fact, they didn't do it. And as a matter of law and court precedents, in the past, those have not been accepted ballots in the end. And there's a lot of them in Wisconsin, enough to turn the election over three times over. So that's a big charge.
It's shocking. Yeah, it's shocking. Those numbers surprised even me. But what we did is we took the state's own election records that said, who did you send these ballots to? And we called those folks. And we have those folks recorded calls. And then once you call enough people, the data scientists tell me is statistically significant, right? And you get up to 95% certainty. Well, this is with 99% mathematical certainty that it's over 355,000 unsolicited ballots. Well, Michigan was pretty smart. You know, they passed a law that said, if you want to vote by mail, if you want to, that's not allowed, right? You can do an absentee ballot. That's a little different. And they say to do that, you got to sign it once. You got to sign it to get the ballot. And you've got to sign it again to turn it in so that the vote counts. So you sign it twice. And here we've got evidence of unsolicited ballots being flooded into the system. That's somebody who didn't sign for it, didn't even ask for it. And the only explanation for that is either a mistake, or a widespread illegality, lawlessness of people trying to harvest ballots for other folks. And the numbers go on. There are other examples. Like, for example, the head of elections, Jonathan Brader, a partisan Democrat, admitted under oath in an affidavit that he sent out 74,000 ballots. This was as of a month before the election, as of October the 7th. 74,000 he sent out based on an email request alone. So no signature requirement, but just sending it out because somebody checked a box on an email form. You know, the statute says you need a signature. You're supposed to compare that signature to the one we have on file. And then you're supposed to compare it a third time once it comes back in. And based on the eyewitnesses on the ground throughout the state, in little townships, you know, like Canton Township, you know, or bigger areas like Detroit in PCF Arena and other places throughout the state, they weren't checking those signatures on the back end either. Precincts were just packing the stuff up and sending it to be counted, notwithstanding those clear statutory requirements. And that, we all know, does violate the law. And Bush
Let me go to...
Ford, you know, back in 2000, said you've got to treat everybody the same. You got to treat those votes the right way. And you can't water it down with bad ones.
I don't know if you can add a lot to what your lawyer just said, Dr. Linda Lee Tarver.
Well, I'm grateful to be here, and Ian is doing a great job for us. But in terms of adding on to what he said, there is so much fraud in decades worth of fraud here in Michigan. So I'm a retired state employee after 34 years, 29 years with the Michigan Department of State, and 7 years performing election integrity. And so as a private citizen now and a voter, I was appalled that what was known for many decades as problems have still not been resolved. But this Secretary of State, a Democrat, in her official capacity, appears to have broken the law herself for mailing out ballots that she knew were unsolicited. And in that capacity, there needs to be repercussions. We also know that there was a court case in October of 2020 saying that the poll challengers, because of COVID, the poll challengers who have a legal right to inspect and evaluate the process, a legal right to be there and to observe, to report, to challenge, and to ensure integrity of the election, because that is where the crux of the integrity is on election day. The parameters, if they're not going to follow the law, at least we have some eyes in there. We have a voice in there. We have challengers in there. And those challengers were not allowed to stand within 6 feet, some 10 feet, and some were put out. And the law in Michigan says that those challengers must be protected and they must not be intimidated from doing their job. And we want people, because it's a misdemeanor, and we want people to go to jail this year. This is a year that people need to go to jail for violating Michigan election law. We have a criminal code, and we need to make sure that we are using it. I'm asking the lawmakers to look at Detroit the absentee voting precinct at the TCF Center in the downtown Detroit. That is the discussion, I believe, that the president was talking about. At the TCF Center, all of the absentee voter ballots for Detroit are there. And 71% of those precincts cannot be recounted because they have errors. And because they have errors, no one can recount them. They can't be recounted. There are flaws. There are errors. They consider them clerical errors or technical flaws. But they need to be opened up. The boxes need to be opened so that we can see and affirm the illegal activity that was going on. At four, we were told by witnesses at 4 a.m. in the morning, boxes of found ballots from Detroit were brought in and tabulated. We were told by eyewitnesses that people were seeing multiple ballots run through multiple times.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Ian Northen with us with the Amistad program and project at Thomas More Society. He's representing Dr. Linda Lee Tarver, president of Tarver Consulting. By the way, also a member at large for the National Federation of Republican Women and board member of Black Voices for Trump and a former Michigan Civil Rights Commissioner. And Christina Caramo is back with us. She's been on TV the last two nights, and she's really become a viral sensation. Incredible arguments she has been making, as she was one of the observers of this shift show, if you will, everything that was happening on the ground in Michigan. Christina, great to have you here and back, and thank you for being with us. And I don't know if you realize just how viral you've gone, but it's been pretty intense.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, Sean. I'm glad people are listening. You know, I was at the TCF Center for 37 hours, and I was there first on Monday because on Monday, our legislators approved a process where they could start processing the ballots, not counting them. And Monday, it seemed normal, at least I thought. But when I got there Tuesday through Wednesday, I was there 37 hours. Sean, it was so emotionally overwhelming what I witnessed. What I witnessed was just, it was horrible. And what's so sad is our local news media outlets are totally trying to discredit us. And like I've said before, if we're asking for an investigation. If we were lying, we wouldn't ask for an investigation because what we said would be easily disproven. And what's so sad is one of our local news media outlets tried, and it's funny, I actually on their list to get mail, get email, they said that it wasn't true, that poll watchers weren't being thrown out. The poll challengers weren't being thrown out. They said that wasn't true. And I'm literally like, I watched it with my own two eyes. And what was really scary is Democrats, they had little operatives in there that were like trying to sow discord and fear amongst the workers to get them to turn against us. It was really a sad situation. And like the ballots that showed up in the middle of the night. I mean, the city has no accountability. Subpoena these people. What's going on? Like, ask them why did that happen? You know, I remember when the truck showed up, we were just all so surprised. Like, what is going on? And all these ballots just appear out of nowhere. And it's just like no answers, no accountability. And I think some people are having a hard time processing, you know, what we are saying. Because we've been taught since we were children to trust our institutions, to trust authority, because they know what's right. They mean good by us. People cannot fathom a well-organized conspiracy to overthrow our republic. They can't conceptualize it. So they just rather consider us liars because it's flying in the face of their worldview that if it was true, then the news media would tell us it's true. Not necessarily. You're just calling us liars with no investigation. And so the thing about it is between the people being tossed out, you know, even one thing that was really upsetting when the people were knocking at the door saying, stop the count, stop the count. There were people saying that they're trying to intimidate you guys. Well, the city, I don't know who gave the green light for this. They actually chained the door shut to keep the people out. And what's so scary about that, if a fire would have broken or any other type of emergency, we were trapped in. And somebody could have got seriously hurt or killed. I mean, there was so much impropriety that needs to be investigated. And like Dr. Tarver said, open the boxes. If the city has nothing to hide, if the Secretary of State has nothing to hide, open the boxes. Because
do you believe with all your heart, Christina, that illegal votes were being counted?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like what has been discussed is like the hand king of ballots, where they were literally adding people to the voter rolls. And what was so shocking, as I remember, I mean, it's horrible, Sean. I felt so powerless. I walked over to one of the tables where this was happening to challenge the vote. And the woman looks at me and says, oh, there's already been a challenge. We've already gotten approved. And I'm watching her hand key in names into the voter rolls. So, I mean, people act like it's so irrational. How do we know that's even an actual person who cast his vote? How do we not know that this just isn't a ballot that showed up and they're adding in a name? So when people say, oh, well, there's only, it's only, they concentrate on the amount of ballots that's off. They say, oh, well, it's only 300 ballots is off. Well, if the voter rolls are off and you have illegal ballots, of course it's not going to show that the count is off. It's not going to show it if the person is in there illegally. So that's why the boxes need to be open. Like Dr. Tarver said, you need to get inside and see, are those, there needs to be a forensic audit. Are those voter rolls correct? And what about the votes? Do those match up? And we can clearly see Secretary Benson is hiding.
Just an unbelievable story. Ian, where do you stand in the legal process of making what Christine is talking about a reality?
Yeah, so, you know, Sean, thank you. You know, we sued directly to the Michigan Supreme Court with a special statute in Michigan because in Michigan's constitution, they wrote it in 2 years ago that everyone in Michigan has a right to an audit in our constitution, and we have the right to safeguard that accuracy and integrity I talked about earlier. Now, I can't throw somebody in jail, right? This is a civil lawsuit. I'm just doing my part to get them their rights, their due. But I do call upon the others to ask these hard questions of the head of elections, ask these hard questions of the Secretary of State. Why aren't you releasing the rest of the data? Why aren't you allowing an independent audit? Why are you telling your people in a memo that we acquired as of 2 days ago, 12-1, to destroy ballot boxes and destroy evidences? Those should be preserved by statute under law for a period of 2 years under federal law. Why are you telling local precincts? This is coming right from the top. This is coming from the head of the elections.
And you have the letter to back to that backs. You have this directive to violate the law, and you have a copy of it?
Yeah, I do. And so we're trying to prove that it's authentic. But, you know, to me, you know, it's one of those challenges. At least ask that question. What is going on here? These are simple questions to ask, right? The chain of custody is something that even small kids can understand, right? Who's got the stapler? Who's got the pencil? You know, did you bring your own book to school today, Johnny? Right? Little kids understand chain of custody, and it's used all over. You know, when we did elections in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places around the world, you know, we had a chain of custody. Now, that was a place that was known to be lawless, and we imposed a Republican representative democracy. People dipped their finger in ink, and you could hold it up, and it would last for a couple of days. And you knew that that one person voted one time and one time only, right? They couldn't present
the purple finger. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, the purple finger. You remember the visuals in your head. Here, you can't do that throughout Michigan because we have evidence of people voting more than once. We have people who say they voted, but their votes were thrown out. We have other people who say they didn't vote, and yet there's been a ballot cast in their name. Where are the purple fingers, so to speak? And that's all stuff that's only in the hands and of those election officials. And so to me, just ask those hard questions. Let's get those logbooks. They should be signatures on there. When you put something in a ballot or take it out, you're supposed to sign for it. This is not that tough.
Yeah.
As long as you're paying attention. You know, Michigan, you know, Michigan's known for its cold winters, and sometimes, you know, sometimes winter comes early, and I'm afraid that our lawmakers, the people, you know, the popularly elected officials in the legislature are hibernating right now, and they really need to sit up straight, pay attention, and do the heavy lifting now before we just rubber stamp something lawless or illegal. It's really sad to see. And Dr. Tarver and others, Christina and others, coming forward, paying attention, wanting the best for their own communities, wanting the best for everyone. Those are people of goodwill, and I would encourage anybody, if you've seen something, you know, right, see something, say something, pay attention here, because if you don't do it now, I'm afraid that it's just going to get worse in the future, and that's why it's...
Well, let me ask this question of Christina, then. What has been the reaction now that you very publicly now pointed out everything that you've been seeing that shouldn't be happening and as an election observer?
You know, a lot of times the people, they attempt to say that I'm lying. You know, and I, like I was saying before, I think it's because they thoroughly believe that the news.
Well, let me just interrupt you quickly. You did sign an affidavit, and you know
right.
that you do so if you lie in it, that you do it with the understanding the penalty of perjury exists for you, right?
Yep, and I understand all of that, and that's the part to me, Sean. Our biggest fight is the information war. To me, that is our number one fight. Because if most of the public knew what was happening, they would rise up. But our local news media outlets keep saying that, oh, these aren't credible. These are unverified. That's why we're asking for an investigation. It's like the public has, they throw common sense out the window. So when someone says these are unverified, okay, yeah, that's right. So verify them by conducting an investigation. Then you will verify what we're saying. Because they don't even want to do that. They don't want to take the time because the fix is in. I don't know what their direct relationship is, but what was even more upsetting, like, for example, one of our Wayne County Board of Canvassers, our local NBC affiliate, went outside his home and showed his address. So this is the kind of new, and said what city he lives in. So this is what we're dealing with here. And so now when you have the news media trying to discredit us, the people think we're liars. They're sending me hate messages. I mean, most of the messages have been positive, but a lot of them are hate messages because they're so consumed with the fact that Donald Trump is just so, not the fact that what they think is the fact, that Donald Trump is just such a terrible person, and that anybody who's complicit in supporting him and perpetuating his evil must by default be evil themselves. So they're just consumed with this irrational hatred that they are not interested, and they can't even conceptualize how logical it is to just ask, have an investigation. Their minds can't wrap around that. They're just so brainwashed. It's like a psyop has been ran on the American people. It's actually quite scary, because what else can the media convince people to do?
I've dealt with this my whole career, Christina. Look, we did something that no one else did. We vetted Barack Obama. You know, we got the Russia story right. There was Russian interference. It was Hillary's dossier. And that was used then to acquire FISA warrants, the bulk of the information to get FISA warrants to spy on a candidate, Donald Trump, his transition team, and then his presidency. We've been vetting the Biden family corruption business since 2018 in Peter Schweizer's secret empires. We ask questions that nobody else would ask about why is Biden hiding in the basement the entire time. You know, this is, I think, what we've always done differently. That's why we're independent and we go our own way. And now Dr. Linda Lee Tarver, you, like Christina, are going your own way. What's been the reaction to you?
The reaction for me has been much the same. But in reality, it's I'm convinced that our president has won this election in Michigan. I believe that he overwhelmingly received the votes. And the activities and illegal activities that has taken place is demonstrating the desperation that the Democrats have had and the fear that they've had that he would win re-election handily. And I'm just waiting for the truth to come out and prosecutions to follow.
You know, it just is a sad thing when you consider the stakes are being so high and, you know, all of these witnesses signing affidavits, all under the penalty of perjury. We had a whole impeachment in this country, and as a lawyer, Ian, you would understand this, based on one whistleblower that ended up being anonymous hearsay whistleblower. And here you've got hundreds of people signing these legal affidavits and hundreds of people testifying, and the media is so corrupt they ignored them. Or call them liars, just dismiss them.
Well, you know, Sean, I think you're seeing that as part of kind of a crassness and a cancel culture that's in full effect, right? You're seeing, you know, people latch on to different things and do so in a way that's really unprecedented. I mean, at least recently. Look, but, you know, the last time this happened, you have to go all the way back into the history books into the late 1800s. But this sort of thing has happened before. And that's why, you know, people talk about a popular vote and democratic process, but, you know, we have a super majoritarian document, the Constitution, that says when this sort of thing goes wrong, there are ways to fix it. And the way to fix it is to make sure that you're doing it right, to make sure that it is accurate, to make sure that it has integrity. And you go back to the last good election you had before you had the taint of widespread irregularities and illegalities, as the case may be. And when you do that, then it's up to the legislatures to step in and take back the power that they delegated to these so-called election officials, these so-called experts. They had one job to do, and it doesn't appear that they did it very well. So let's ask those hard questions. Let's get it right. And then once you separate out the bad votes from the good ones, right, the ones that are lawful from the unlawful, the sheep from the goats, if you will, once you do that work, instead of rubber stamping a fraud, now everyone has confidence that those votes that are counted, are accurate and fair. And when you do that, let the chips fall where they may. Right? This shouldn't be about
that's what they desperately don't want to have happen and have run out the clock. The only thing that's been frustrating me, I mean, Linda and I had a long discussion about this today, is that we have been, how many doors have we knocked on to start hearing from these witnesses from what, day one? And it's taken a while. I understand there's a process to all this, but I want to thank you all. Ian, thank you. Christina, you're now my co-host. We'll have to pay you soon. Thank you. And Dr. Linda Lee Tarver, thank you for being with us. We really appreciate it. This is very important for the country to hear from you, and we appreciate you sharing your experience. And there's so many of you that are doing it, and everybody else is ignoring it. We won't.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Thanks, as always, for being with us. We hope you'll set your DVR. We got a great Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. New whistleblowers tonight. All the hearings that took place in Georgia, the trial out in Nevada. And also we'll update you on the Wisconsin case. The Supreme Court says now it's got to go to a lower court first. We got Reince Priebus on Wisconsin. We got Kayleigh McEnany on the Trump campaign around the country. Matt Schlapp is out in Nevada. The whistleblowers that we will introduce you tonight, brand new. They're phenomenal. Wait till you hear their stories. And James O'Keefe and his latest beatdown of CNN, exposing them as frauds. 9 Eastern, say DVR, Hannity, Fox. See you then. Back here tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.